Chris Kershaw tipping pitches. CJ, how does the hitter see that and take advantage?
Well, first and foremost, Chris, if it did happen, it always happens when the pitcher is in the stretch. Rarely can you pick up pitches when a guy is thrown from the windup, and that's what we saw in that seventh inning.
Yeah, it's kind of the dog days, man.
Yeah.
You had a tough time coming up with segments for today. We're like on the subway. Let's just talk about the Warriors.
Yeah, it was very last minute. Like, let's just talk about Mike Trout.
Do you think ESPN does this? They're like, we don't know what to talk about. Let's just talk about, I don't know. Let's just throw Stephen A. Smith out there and hope that he says something wild.
Yo, I genuinely think it's like Mad Libs. Like, they have like three different hats and they just grab different topics and like put them all together.
For like 5 years, Tebow was two of those hats.
Yep.
I mean, we do have something to talk about right off the bat is that last night.
Oh, nice pun.
Oh, wow. Damn. See that? Unintentional humor. It's about to get sad, so soak up that humor while you still can. Late last night, so we're recording this on a Saturday morning-ish. But we talk about the morning, like it's like 9 a.m. Like, no, we're not coming out to you at 9 a.m.
Yeah, no, it's almost noon.
Late last night, Curtis Granderson was traded to the Dodgers for a player to be named later or cash. And I was just saying to you earlier today, like, if it's a player to be named later or cash, chances are it's just cash. Like, if it was a real player, you'd probably say it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, so Curtis Granderson, I think I texted you like 3 days ago being like, Curtis Granderson is quickly vaulting himself up into my top like five or seven Mets.
Yeah.
And of course they trade him 2 days later, right?
Yeah, that was after he hit that ninth inning grand slam, right? Against the Yankees? You were at that game.
Yeah, I was at that game. The only emotions I have for that game pretty much for 8.5 innings were despondent. Depressed. It was really sad. Luis Severino looked like peak Nolan Ryan. He made Conforto look like mid-2016 Conforto. And Citi Field was pretty much overrun with Yankees fans, so that's how my week went. I was at the game Monday also, and I was wearing a Harvey jersey, and maybe that wasn't my best decision. Wearing a Harvey jersey to Yankee Stadium, I was kind of asking for it, honestly. I cannot tell you how many times the guy sitting behind us were like, yo, how's Matt Harvey doing? How many starts has he made this season? And I literally just wanted to be like, 13, all right? It's 13 starts. It's not that bad. But
Granderson, man, that's sad. And what I mentioned to you as soon as we heard the news is that he's going to go try and make a push for a ring, which I think he arguably deserves more than any other player in the game right now. I mean, if there's a guy who I'm like, yeah, I want you to end your career with a ring, it's almost definitely Curtis Granderson.
I think, like, looking back on, it was such a brief but fulfilling run for me as a Mets fan to see them, like, come out of nowhere and go to the World Series in 2015 and then have these 2 years of contention that are kind of, like, unraveling and resetting now. But I think looking back on that run, a lot of what I'll think about is, like, those Curtis Granderson line drive home runs to right field and, like, just his never-ending positivity. And
oh, my God. His smile is so infectious.
All the charity work that he did in New York City and the surrounding areas and really all the cities all around the United States. He's just a guy that's really committed to, you know, his charity work and the community and kids. And I really like seeing that in the Mets dugout, you know. Like, growing up, I saw a lot of negativity in the Mets dugout. I mean, of course, there were some good guys along the way, but, like, it seems like there are always, like, these larger-than-life personalities that unravel, and I guess we're kind of seeing that with Harvey juxtaposed with a guy like Granderson, who, you know, always was pleasant with the media, had such a nice sending off last night, through the Mets Twitter account and whatnot. And
and he started We Follow Lucas Duda, which is arguably one of the greatest sports social media profiles ever. I mean, genius, absolute genius. It was so dumb, and what even was it? Like, but I don't know. It's like definitely one of those fun things that adds some color to a baseball team, which I don't know.
It was funny because you could tell that it was definitely conceived by like an older guy. There was like nothing like young and hip about that social media account. It just like posted every 3 weeks, and they were like videos that were like 10 seconds too long sometimes.
Yep.
Like, I love it. It was perfect. I wouldn't change a thing about it. But yeah, I think one of my favorite stories of the Curtis Granderson era was James Wagner did a piece before the beginning of the season, just talking about how they might have to rely on Granderson playing a little more center this year, just because, you know, Lagares has been injured a lot, and they weren't really sure about Conforto coming into the year, which is wild, but, you know, take that for what you will. And so Granderson was just 110% committed to just hydrating a ridiculous amount. And how he just pounds like 8 ounce water bottles and he keeps them in like his back pocket when he's like shagging fly balls and stuff like that. And just like something like that is just like so quirky and so funny. And it just, it like embodies his personality and just everything about him, like the walk up music, how he just seems to enjoy life. Like,
yeah, we talked about that story so much. Like, he treats water like the elixir of life, and like, I guess it is, but he like doesn't stop drinking it. Like, he has to. There was some quote from a player in there who was like, "Yeah, he has to like pee all the time." But like,
the younger players are like, "I kind of realized it was a good idea to just drink water. You know, I never really thought about it that way." And I'm just like, "Oh my god, you guys are so dumb. You're professional athletes."
Yo, not to mention Granderson's a lightweight moon landing truther. He literally has a quote where he's like, "Yo, if we've been to the moon, why have we never been back, huh?" And I'm like, I can't even argue with you on that.
Anyway, Curtis Granderson, I'll miss you, and I hope you get a ring in LA at all costs.
We literally talked about the Dodgers in like the first 5 minutes. we did so well last podcast, and we just went right after it this time.
Did we do well last podcast? We didn't talk about the Dodgers. Oh, we did the All Assholes.
Yeah.
Were there any Dodgers on there? I feel like no. We did good.
Yeah, we did good.
Yeah. But Dodgers are back, baby.
Yeah, we're back to our old
ways. Back to 2017, so it's the Dodgers pod.
But speaking of the Mets, we got to talk about real quick a very strange thing that occurred this week when a couple of their infielders got injured. Jose Reyes and Wilmer Flores went down. They were scratched from the lineup. And so the Mets had to get a little creative. Terry was, you know, working his magic, whatever. And he was like, "You know what I'm going to do? Darno, you're a third baseman now. You're starting at third." Has not played third base in his professional career. Majors, minors.
Probably back to like high school.
Yep. And he just threw him out there. But that wasn't enough because I guess he didn't trust him for every batter. Or he was just trying to play the shifts. And frankly, who knows what was going through Terry's mind?
Who knows what's ever going through Terry's mind?
But basically,
other than Conforto, get out of here.
Yeah, so true. Take a seat, Scooter. Collins decided to switch Darno with Ezdrubal Cabrera, who's playing second base. They ended up switching positions 22 times. So Darno literally went third, second, third, second, third, second, third, second,
good God.
Third, second,
all right, you get the
third,
point.
Second, just depending on the batter. And like, can we talk about this seriously? Because why? What, like, genuinely, what is the point? You just trust Cabrera that much more for certain hitters? Like,
I don't get the point for doing it like as much as they did. I could understand if it was like a double play situation and you don't think Darno could turn it. Or if it's maybe like a bunt situation and you don't think he can charge and make the throw. But for the rest of it, it's like you can be a bad fielder, and for one game, it probably won't matter. Even for like 10 games, it might not matter. For 60 games, it might not matter.
The Mets rolled TJ Rivera out there.
Yeah. The Braves moved Freddie Freeman from first to third base, and he's never played third base.
And he's like good.
He's not like, quite good.
He was like fine. He was like average.
He was a little below average. His fielding percentage was like 909. That's pretty bad.
I think it went back up. I think he's actually been like a serviceable third baseman for them.
Anyway, the point being, for one game, just because the way baseball is, like, the chances are the ball's probably not going to get hit to you. And if it does, it's not going to make or break the game. That only matters over like the course of a season if you have a really bad fielding third baseman, which they have had this whole year. All of their third basemen have been bad fielding third basemen. So it's like, Terry, did you not realize that your third basemen were bad all year?
I want to point out that the strategy worked. Darno didn't touch the ball until the ninth inning.
He got a fly ball, right?
He got a little pop-up, yeah.
Yeah, he looked pretty sure-handed underneath that.
Yo, roll him out there. Yeah. The Mets got to lose.
Literally.
He's not doing much at catcher
games,
right now.
Games, man. They got games to lose. Hopefully they lose more of them. yeah, speaking of him not doing much at catcher right now, I just wanted to say, quick side note, I don't understand what the Mets plan for the catcher position is going forward. Like, I don't really think Darno has shown enough to be an everyday catcher, and they're just trotting out like Rene Rivera, who, like, it's not a bad guy to have on your roster if you're like a really good team. Like, he's like a slightly worse version of David Ross for the Cubs last year, in the sense that, like, veteran guy, knows the quirks of the game, you know, can work a couple hits just based off reading a pitcher, like things like that. But you can't just run out Rene Rivera every time Noah Syndergaard starts because Noah Syndergaard feels comfortable pitching to him. Like, you need to find a longer term solution at catcher. It all ties together because this goes back to their problem at not being willing to find a longer term solution at third base. They're just pretending like David Wright is just going to come back at the beginning of every spring training and he's just going to be fine. And I know I've said this before on the show, like, he's not, and they're just not solving it. for whatever reason that might be. And, like, I don't know if that means going out and signing a guy like Jonathan Lucroy, like, who's had really a bad year and a half now of being a bad defensive catcher, puzzlingly enough, and not really hitting. So I don't know what that means. Do you have feelings about that? Like, do you think signing Lucroy would be a good move just to see if he has anything left in the tank?
I don't think it would hurt at this point. Lucroy, obviously, tiny sample size, has hit like 333 since going over the Rockies. So, you know.
It's the Rock. I mean, take that for Rocky what you will. But
point being that, like, I think that he's probably still, I mean, he's still a major league hitter, and the bar has been set pretty low at this point. They're like, what do you have to lose by going out and signing him to like a short-term, low-end contract? At this point, like, I don't think that the Mets could be doing any worse, you know?
It's sad because I really liked Arnaud. Like, I liked him as a player when he first came up. He was just injured a lot. And then now, I just don't know. Like, he's a throwing liability. Like, people steal on him.
You don't know, man?
Major eye roll. He's a throwing liability. I mean, people steal bases on him. And I know you can fault the pitcher for that as well. But, like, runners are emboldened by the fact that he's behind the plate, for sure, I think. Like, you saw that in the 2015 playoffs. And he's not hitting anymore. He's just basically just not hitting. He had a good game against the Yankees on Thursday when I was there. But for the season, he's sitting, like, 225. Yeah. And, like, if you're not – I understand that, like, you can't rely on too much offense from your catcher. But if your catcher is not, you know, bolstering the team defensively, and maybe he's a great game caller. I don't know. I don't know enough about the Mets clubhouse to know if he's, like, their go-to game caller versus Rivera or versus bringing in a guy from the outside like Lucroy. But to the average fan or, like, to someone who watches them all the time, like, I don't know really if he's the long-term solution. Like, they've given him a decent amount of time behind the plate.
Yeah, and it's very easy to forget that he was the centerpiece of that Dickey trade. Like, he was who the Mets were going after when they traded R.A. Dickey to the Blue Jays. And Syndergaard was, like, not a throw-in, but he was not their main target for that. I mean, Darno was a really highly regarded prospect, supposed to be on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where injuries, I think, really did not help his growth at all. And it's hard to bounce back from that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's had some injuries to his throwing arm, too. So I don't know if that might just take a couple of years to get that arm strength back or if he might never get it back. But, you know, it's sad to see because Darno, for all intents and purposes, seems like a really good guy, seems like a positive clubhouse guy. It's just that at some point, the Mets have to commit to contending with the core that they have here now. Like, if you think about it, you list the core, like, the deepest core of this team. Like, if you could only pick five players, like, I wouldn't take the Mets five players against any other team in the league, because obviously you got teams like the Dodgers and the Astros, and, you know, those teams are loaded, and even the Nats. But, like, they're right up there. They're right up there, just like a team that could get hot and win a World Series with just their core. It's just the fringe players for this team are just, they're not championship level players. Like, I don't know how else to square it. So
But speaking of players who have been sad to watch
and not championship level,
especially recently, we got to talk about our boy real quick. Jared Weaver officially announced his retirement the other day over a tweet that he sent. This was on August 16th.
Sure Jared Weaver, I heard someone say he only has like 8,300 followers on Twitter.
That's very possible. He has 4,716.
Oh, boy. Anyway, sorry, I just had to. Twitter followers are a very important statistic for us.
You know, which is pretty good. He got his 1.5 thousand people retweeted this. So, like, that's not a bad ratio.
Yeah, seriously.
If that happened to me, I'd be Twitter famous.
1.5 thousand retweets? Or like a third of your followers?
Or like a third of my followers. That's more than I get, like, over a year.
So true.
good night, sweet prince. Jared Weaver put together a really good major league career. I think it's really easy to forget that he was a really good pitcher for a long time. I mean, he's basically, obviously, he was not good this year, and he was not good last year. But before that, he was like a serviceable major league pitcher. And in the prime of his career, I mean, he finished as the runner-up for Cy Young in 2011. He was in third place in 2012. A career 3.63 ERA and 150 wins, which I know, you know, take those stats for what it's worth, but I think it shows that he was actually able to put together a serviceable major league career and was really the lifeblood of that Angels, of that, like, mid to late 2000s Angels team. I mean, he was dominant.
Like, it's so easy to remember him as a dude that's, like, topping out at 84 because, like, baseball Twitter ripped on that for the last, like, 2+ years. But, like, in the peak of his career, he threw gas for the Angels. And he was a guy who could, like, locate on the lower plane of the strike zone. And I remember him getting, like, a lot of, like, broken bat groundouts, which, like, you don't really see that anymore. You see a lot of flyouts because, like, the flyball revolution and whatnot, and just, like, ridiculous velocity. So you see a ton of strikeouts. But a career 407 fielding independent pitching, and that's including these last couple years where he's had a 810 FIP and a 562 FIP. Like, that's pretty good. You know, I remember him being like a guy that we would list as like a top three, top four pitcher for a while there.
Yeah.
And it's just the Angels are another team where they just kind of fell apart slowly, and now they just have a borderline contending team. But I think Weaver was almost sort of the first domino to go for that team.
Yeah, and it's really been hard to watch over the last couple of years. I mean, you know, I'm an A's fan, so he pitched against my team. He was an A's killer. If you look at his career from 23 to 31, so that's excluding the last 3 years where he was decidedly not very good, he had a 3.28 ERA. That's pretty ridiculous. And he always kind of gave up home runs. 3.4 home runs per 9 innings this year, I would have retired too.
That's like BP, dude.
It's always bad when you have a 7 ERA and your fielding independent pitcher still says you're not that good.
It's like, there's nothing underlying here, man. You're just seeing what you're getting.
And one other thing I want to mention before we move on from our boy. We have to talk about his retirement tweet, because what he did was he composed a tweet with a photo of a sunset. He had 5 characters left, but instead of sending that tweet, he decided to screenshot it and send that instead. Like, come on. Like, what did you think that the 5 was there for? Like, you're 5 over? You need to get rid of 5 characters? Were you just like, nah, I can't cut any more out of this?
Also, 5 characters is so easy to cut, man.
Yeah. I don't even know. He had 5 characters left, and he was like, nope, I just need to screenshot it, man.
That's bold, man.
It is bold.
It's a bold move on his part.
You know what you do, what you got to do.
Hey, he was a successful pitcher in the MLB for a long time, and that's more than I could say. So he was doing something right.
Very fair. He got paid a lot of money to do that. So I guess I can't really critique his social media presence.
So you mentioned that Jared Weaver had given up 3.4 home runs per 9 this year. You know who's basically hitting 3.4 home run per 9 this year?
Giancarlo.
What he's doing right now is, like, borderline violence.
Yeah.
Like what he's been doing to opposing pitchers is just, like, Chris Flexen pitched against him last night, just walked him twice. Like, I don't understand why a 20-year-old kid is figuring this out before seasoned MLB professionals. Like, maybe he's just a little more self-deprecating, and he just knows that, like, Giancarlo is going to mash him, like, out of the field. Because Aaron Judge just hit one into the third row at Citi Field, the second player to ever do it, so Giancarlo would have to, like, outdo that and hit it essentially out of the park. Like, my dude hits it to LaGuardia Airport.
Giancarlo Stanton is so much fun to watch. And I know, like, yeah, hashtag analysis right there. But oh my God. I mean, as someone who grew up and watched Barry Bonds, but, like, I don't have vivid memories of that, you know? Like, I think we were too young to experience, like, Bonds in his prime. And by the time he was steroid era Bonds, it wasn't even fun anymore. But, oh my.
I remember him getting walked a lot, and that's pretty much it. Like, yeah. I remember there being segments, SportsCenter segments, where they would just have the little counter in the bottom corner, and they would just count his intentional walks over, like, a series.
Yeah, like, the time that the bases were loaded, and they intentionally walked him anyway.
I'm telling you, dude, Stanton is reaching that level.
Yeah, almost.
Like, I'm not giving up 4 runs if I know. I was going to say, like, I'm not giving up 4 runs if I know the next person up is going to be, like, D. Gordon. But it's not even going to be D. Gordon. It's, like, Marcelo Zuna, who's also good.
Yeah.
Or Christian Yelich, who's also good.
Yep, Justin Bour, who's going to hit 30 home runs this year.
Why are the Marlins bad?
I don't know.
Well, they don't have any pitching.
They don't have any pitching. But, yeah, Giancarlo, is he going to hit 60, you think?
I really don't think he's going to hit 60 home runs. I mean, I was talking about this the other day with a couple of friends, is that, like, I saw, I think it was 538 that tweeted out, like, a graphic of, you know, all the top home run seasons. So the Bond 73, the Sosa 66, and where they were at through 116 games, which is what the Marlins had played at that time. And Giancarlo was at 43, I want to say. And that was the same as Sosa in the season that he hit 66. But most of those guys, and I think the article that they tweeted out along with that graphic was making the point that most of those guys that finished the season that strong, the box all the way to the right in that graphic was, did they take steroids? For all of them, it was yes.
Yeah.
So he's obviously on a ridiculous tear, and he obviously breaks the confines of what normal humans can do, because just look at him. He's literally the Terminator. Like, he is literally Terminator in a real human. But I really just don't, I don't think that any baseball player can go on this hot of a tear for, you know, a whole third of a season. Like, that just doesn't really seem plausible to me. And Giancarlo would be the one to, like, break my plausibility scale. But for my money, I'm going to take the run of baseball history.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the slight under on that. And then at the same time, you remember...
Damn, we're so boring. We're just going to tamper this. Like, obviously, I would love to see him break 61. Like,
you know what? I really think that he could. If you think about... Because you mentioned... It's so hard for a baseball player to go on that hot of a tear for a third of the season. And then you think
without
about...
Without steroids, yeah.
Without steroids. And then you think about Gary Sanchez last year, and you think about...
Or Gary Sanchez
Aaron
right
Judge,
now.
Or Aaron Judge at the beginning of the year. It's like, yes, if anyone's going to do it, Giancarlo's going to do it. Because really, like, if he goes on another two-week tear where he hits 10 home runs, he's, like, almost there.
Yeah.
He has a month...
He's at 44, right?
Yeah, he's at 44. So... It really would not take much to put him over if he smacked a few here or there over the next couple weeks. So I think I'd put the odds at like 40, 50%.
And his numbers are like patently absurd this year. Is that he's hit 44 home runs, and the guys up there with him are, you know, Judge and Gallo and Mike Moustakas for whatever the hell reason. I don't even want to talk about him. But Judge and Gallo, who are tall dudes... who are one true outcome guys, essentially. Judge is a little more than that, but Gallo is a one true outcome guy who you just think of who have ridiculous raw power. Judge's strikeout rate this year is 31.8%, and it's been steadily rising. And Gallo's is 37.3%. Giancarlo is only striking out 23.4% of the time.
Yeah,
and like that's not a great number, but for someone who's hit 44 home runs.
Well, it's like barely, I mean, that's almost league average. That's like a couple ticks above league average. Not to mention he's walking. He's taking walks too. I mean, he's walking almost 12% of the time. So that
Judge is walking 17.4% of the time. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's why his OBP is 420.
Yeah, Giancarlo Stanton hits lots of home runs, hits the ball very far.
Did you see he had an interview the other day and someone was asking him about the home run record and just like whether he thought, I don't know if they were asking him whether he thought he could get to it or just, I think they were just essentially asking him his opinion of it, or it came up in conversation and he was like, he had a quote slip about it, and he mentioned that the home run record was Roger Maris at 61.
Yeah, I did see something about that.
That's not a slip, man. Come on, you know what you did.
I respect it, though.
Yeah, because there's no feasible way that anyone is going to break the 73 home run record without cheating.
Like, yeah, literally, nope.
It took arguably the greatest hitter of all time, you know, from the left side of the plate in his absolute prime, and pitchers were absolutely terrified of him, and he was juicing out his ass.
He still needed to cheat to do it.
Yeah. To get 73 home runs? Are you kidding me? The fact that Roger Maris hit 61, like, how? I guess they were just, I don't know, way back when, I guess they were just leaving pitchers in for the sixth and seventh time through the order.
Yeah.
So he was just hitting, like, two a game.
Are living in kind of a, I mean, you know, so much has been said about how home runs are on the rise and everyone's hitting home runs right now. But as far as like the top of the leaderboards right now, we are living in an absolute golden age of power hitters. I went to go see where Giancarlo Stanton ranks among like all-time hitters. And obviously he's below a ton of guys like Bonds and Ruth and McGuire and all those, you know, Sosa, Gehrig. But his ISO, his isolated power, is like almost cracks the top 30. Joey Gallo, 29th all-time for a single season.
Yeah, 360.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's because all he does is hit home runs.
It really is.
That's pretty sure he has as many home runs as singles.
Like, actually, almost.
Yeah, that's obscene. But yeah, so you mentioned, like, we are seeing a lot of guys at the top of the...
Sorry, I just want to correct you there. He has almost twice as many home runs as singles.
What?
He has 20 singles and 35 home runs.
I'm literally speechless.
He has 20 singles, 14 doubles, 2 triples, and 35 home runs. He has almost more home runs than he does any other type of hit.
Combined?
What? Combined, yeah. He has 36 singles, doubles, triples, 35 home runs. Are you kidding me?
He's also stolen 6 bases.
That's so bad.
And if you think about that, he's basically stolen second half the times that he's gotten on first. That's insane, dude.
That's ridiculous.
I really didn't think that he had more home runs than singles. That was a joke.
I know.
Somebody tell this man to just take one the other way. Move the runner over.
Oh my God.
That's a joke. Obviously, you should just keep hitting home runs if you can.
But this does open up to a wider topic of like how much fun it is to watch these guys just absolutely stroke the ball. I mean, Joey Gallo's swing, when he connects, oh my God.
He has a really long swing,
though. It's such a long swing.
It takes like 3 seconds. So, I mean, that brings up a point, is that what you said earlier is that right now we're really living in a time that we're seeing guys hit more home runs, but we're also seeing them do it in like, I feel like, dramatic fashions, you know, and maybe that's because the ball is juiced, but there are just so many, this is not a stat, but there are just so many fun home run hitters, I feel like, right now. So, you know, we just wrote down a couple names of guys that we enjoy watching hit home runs. I'll leave Stan off since we already talked about him and he's the Terminator and pretty much all his home runs just like go over that statue in Marlins Park.
Yep.
But yeah, so why don't we just go down the list and just, who else did you name that you just really enjoy watching hit home run? Like, if you just had to watch a highlight reel of guys just mashing home runs, who would you choose first? Who would you YouTube search first?
Well,
since I know you do that at like 3 a.m. for no reason. Alex at 3 a.m. just watches like baseball highlights. Like, he'll just watch, I don't know, who's your go-to? Like, Andrelton Simmons ranging to his right.
It's literally like the same Manny Machado video of him just making diving stops at third base.
And throwing to first, yeah.
I'm not even ashamed about that. But yeah, so if we're leaving Stanton off the list, we're going to leave Gallo off the list too, because we mentioned him and he's just fun to watch when he's actually making contact.
We can also leave Judge off the list because that's obvious.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to put Harper probably at the top of my list just because, and I think that's probably a pretty obvious one, but oh my God, his swing is so beautiful. And the way he kind of like drops down too a little bit, like he drops down to his knees a little bit. Oh my God. When he crushes one out to right field, oh my gosh.
This is just going to be a series of verbal orgasms over people's swings.
Just when he swings, oh my God.
I have Bryce Harper down there, like fourth. This is just a very loose ranking, just people that I could think of off the top of my head, but I also have Bryce Harper down there at fourth. The thing I love about Bryce is that it's almost like he's jumping while swinging at times. Like, he does get down in that crouch, but then somehow his back foot, like, comes off the ground, and his swing is bad. Like, you do not teach that swing.
But it works, man.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think the thing about Bryce is that he has, like, lightning-quick bat speed.
Yep.
He can get to any pitch at any part of the plate. Like, and he's not afraid to go the other way to hit a home run. Like, I think a lot of his home, I don't know his spray chart like off the top of my head, but I think a lot of his home runs are pull home runs, just because he punishes mistakes and doubles on everything else. But, you know, I've seen him take like high and outside 98 opposite way for a fastball. And that's just ridiculous for a guy that's still only like 22.
Yeah, he's like 23 or something. He was mashing 500 foot home runs at 18.
Yeah.
Like a Tropicana Field or whatever.
With a metal bat, but yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, I'd watch that. I'd literally pay money to watch Bryce Harper in an empty ballpark hitting home runs.
Yes, seconded.
Also, the other thing about this is that like Bryce has the flair. When Bryce hits a home run, like there's like a 10% chance that his helmet might fly off while he hits it.
I know.
And just something about the way his face, like he's very intense, like, and then once he hits it, his face just like kind of relaxes and he like really enjoys like not to the point where it's like offensive to the other team, but like he just enjoys playing the game, you know? And that's why I was so upset when he got hurt.
Who else you got?
So a guy that I wrote second, and he's not really a big home run hitter anymore just because he's gotten a little older, but someone who I loved watching stroke home runs in their prime is Robinson Cano.
Oh, man.
At Yankee Stadium, left-handed, just ripping home runs down the right field line. And the other thing about Cano is that he could hit 20 home runs, and they could be the 20 most memorable home runs of the whole season. Just because, like, he's so smooth with the bat in his hand. His swing has to be the prettiest since Ken Griffey Jr., in my opinion.
Yep.
And a swing just looks better from the left side of the plate. Like, let's be honest. For whatever reason, and maybe it's just because, you know, you're watching most pitchers coming from the right side and it just comes right into their plane and a lefty just unloads on it. But for whatever reason, the left side of the plate, the swing just looks a lot prettier to me. And Cano is that ultimate guy who, balanced at the plate, really, you know, lets the ball come to him and just smooth. And he just looks good doing it, you know? Like, immediately when we were trying to, you know, set up the social media for this podcast, and we were looking for a picture for our Twitter header, the first thing that came to your mind was that picture of him at the plate with blowing a bubble.
Yeah.
And, like, that is our Twitter header right now.
Yeah, I mean, everything he does, like, embodies the game of baseball. Like, I watch him, and I'm like, I just want 9 copies of you, like, all on one team, and I would just watch that forever.
Yeah, there was Lindbergh on the Ringer MLB show was just talking about, they did, like, a study on players who, like, hustle every play, because they were talking about the Harper injury versus, like, guys who are scared to like run out of single or whatnot. And Cano is like at the bottom of that hustle list, which doesn't really surprise me because he's just like Joe Cool all the time. And Yankees fans really got fed up with that, which I don't understand. Like, you know what? Send him the mess then. I'm fine with that. I would have taken him over Luis Castillo 10 times out of 10. But it turned out that he loses like, I don't know, like 3 hits a year, but he's been very healthy throughout his career. So whatever. If he's not going to run it out, that's fine. I'd watch 9 of him on the field. They would be distractingly cool looking.
Yeah, I didn't put my list in any order, but another guy that I think is worth mentioning is my boy Yasiel.
Ah, because controversial.
Controversial. And even though it's not like he has the prettiest swing in baseball or anything like that, first of all, you know you're going to probably see a bat flip, and I'm here for more bat flips. That's like half the game for me.
You could say he enjoys his home runs.
You could say he enjoys it. And frankly, I enjoy watching a guy who enjoys his home runs. I mean, he connects with the ball, and he actually has the ability to spray it to all fields. And sometimes, you know, watching an opposite field home run isn't as fun as watching a guy, like, mash a 480-footer to their pull side.
I love a little oppo.
But, oh my gosh, man.
You know who hit the oppo really well in his prime? Ryan Howard, man. He went oppo popo, dude. That dude hit so many wall scrapers to left field in fucking Citizens Bank Park. Anyway, sorry. Just had to go on a Phillies rant. Anyway, continue.
I don't know if I had much more to say on that. Just, I think overall, Puig is one of the most fun players to watch in baseball. And
that's sort of a hot take.
Really?
Yeah, people hate him.
I guess. But, like,
I don't hate him. I like him.
I think that he's, again, another one of those players who's, like, so good for baseball. Like, makes the game so much more fun to watch and isn't just this bland thing where you have, like, you know, a bunch of old white guys coming out and being like, he's too showy. He's not supposed to show that he's having fun on the field. What is this? You're not supposed to act like you actually enjoy this game.
All I'm saying is that he's not very different from Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
In that sense. In that he enjoys the game.
Exactly.
And he has fun while doing it, and he celebrates himself, which is, like, good for you, man. Like, you made it to America, and you are playing the game you love.
Yep.
But there have been a few incidents where he had some boneheaded plays where he wasn't hustling, and you won't see that with Harper because he just, he's like 100 all the time. But, you know, leaving that aside, like, you know what the difference between Puig and Harper is? You know what the difference between Puig and Harper is.
Who else you got on your list?
Another outfielder who is arguably the greatest player of all time, Mike Trout.
Yeah.
You could say he's pretty good at baseball.
He's not bad at baseball.
We haven't really talked about him much.
No, we really haven't really talked about him much. Although, you know what? I don't know if he's the most fun guy to watch a home run. Like, in part because his swing is like, oh my God, put it in a museum. Just put it in the Hall of Fame right now. Just a video of his swing. But I think maybe it's just because he's such a well-rounded hitter that, like, his home runs aren't always these, like, crazy, Matt. He's like, nah, I'm not even going to put my whole effort into it. I'm just going to hit it, like, 420 over the over the right center field wall, and
that's exactly why I love watching him hit home run. Like, he just does it so effortlessly, and like, his bat speed is ridiculous. Like,
yep.
You see a guy like Clint Frazier get called up, and like, his whole calling card is like his ridiculous bat speed, and like, it's lightning quick, and there's no pitch that he can't touch, you know, and there's no pitch that he can't hit to the opposite field or whatever. Mike Trout's been doing this for like however long he's been in the MLB, what, like 8 years?
Not even.
No, he's only like 25. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years? So whatever. I love watching Trout hit a home run because it's just so demoralizing for the pitcher. Just, they know that whatever pitch they throw that he can take to any field that he wants and possibly over the fence. And he has what, like, where's he at on the home run list this year? I guess he missed a lot of time, so he's not really at the top.
And yet is still like fourth in wins above replacement in the MLB. Which
he's
like,
second now.
He's
no, third.
Second now, is he?
Third. He's behind Altuve and Judge.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, not to mention, he will punish any pitcher's mistake. Like, doesn't matter where it is. If it's like 2 feet out of the zone, but like, it's in his wheelhouse, he'll take
exactly
it.
And that's what I appreciate, is that like, I was at the game on Thursday, and I was with one of my friends from back home, and his dad came out because he had never seen a game in Citi Field. And, you know, one of the things he was saying was like, a lot of people enjoy watching home runs. Like, you know, like, the casual fan wants to see more home runs, because we were talking about how they moved the fences in at Citi Field because it was too much of a pitcher's park at the beginning. It was like absurd to try to hit a home run there. But we were just talking about how the casual fan appreciates a home run. I think there's something to be said for like a 1-0 pitcher's duel. At the same time, I would like to watch, you know, a pitcher who plays well and then makes one mistake, and a good hitter who can punish that single mistake. You know, I don't want to see a bunch of like nobodies out there like throwing meatballs and just home runs and home runs and home runs and home runs, like, or whatever. But a 1-0 pitcher's duel in which the only run that was given up was the one mistake, I think that's the most beautiful thing about baseball. Is that like, and I think Trout is the peak of that guy, if that makes sense to you. Just like, there was this gif like last week of this ridiculous home run that Trout hit. The dude just, I think he missed with like a slider over the middle of the plate, like the inner half. And Trout just, you can't even see the bat when he swings. It's like a gif. You cannot even see it. It gets out of the park so fast. So I know he's not the most interesting guy. Like, he's pretty boring just because he's so good at everything. But I like watching a hitter who's so ridiculously well-rounded, and I like watching when that pays off for home runs.
I want to watch Jared Weaver pitch to Mike Trout over and over and over and over again. Oh my gosh, think about that.
That's amazing. So what other names do you have?
I'm going to go with a bit of an unconventional pick here. My boy, Adam Rosales. Only because watching him run around the bases after he hits the home run is the most enjoyable thing, because he sprints. I'm not kidding. It takes him like 10 seconds to get around the bases because he just doesn't stop running. He runs his home runs out like he's running out a grounder to short. Like, he legs it the entire way. And, oh, it's just fun, man. He does it like 2 or 3 times a year. But when he does it, oh, my God. It's like a joyous, religious experience. The Adam Rosales home run.
Judge is kind of like that, too. He hits a home run, and he just sticks his head down, and he sprints around. And he slows down a little bit when he gets to second base. But at Newsday, we have like a running list of all of his home runs, like a tweet gallery, just of the videos of the Yankees tweet or whatever. And every home run looks like comically towering, and it's obviously going out of the park, but Judge drops the bat, sticks his head down, sprints around first, sprints around second, and he's just like such a humble guy. And I mean, we talked earlier about how we like to watch players celebrate themselves, so I'm not saying that that's the right way or the wrong way to do it, you know. It's just, I think it's just funny that like a guy who's 6'8" and obviously like a hulking dude who can just mash home runs to all fields just like sticks his head down, kind of shrinks, and just sprints around the bases. Like, I love that. It's such a juxtaposition. I love it.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And the thing is, once the ball leaves the bat, he's like, yeah, that one's gone. I'm just going to run. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stick my head down and go.
I like how you brought up Adam Rosales, and we still ended up talking about Judge for this segment.
Damn it. Adam Rosales literally has the record for the fastest home run trot. He broke his own record this year with 15.88 seconds. Home run!
What?
Yeah.
That's really fast.
It's really
fast. That'd be fast if it was an inside the parker.
Yeah, not to mention like Byron Buxton's like 14-second inside the park home run that he hit yesterday.
Okay, that's an inside the park home run though. Adam Rosales hit one out of the park and only finished 2 seconds later.
Yeah.
1.8 seconds later. Are you kidding me, dude? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So that's why I think it's just fun. And it's funny. And he's a gritty guy. And he goes all out. And now he's on the Diamondbacks, I think. So, yo, enjoy it, D-backs fans. It's a wild ride.
All right. The last guy I wrote down, just because I feel like I wanted to mention him for a specific home run that he hit last year, is Edwin Encarnacion. So that home run that he hit with the Blue Jays in the wild card game, that's just like pure bliss, man.
Yeah.
Like to watch that home run, and just to watch a guy who has that raw power that he has, and he just like, he's a guy who knows it when he hits one. And I like watching that because you see a player know it when he hits one, and then you just get like that tingling feeling, you know, when you're watching the game and you're just like, oh, damn. He got all of that one.
Yeah, not to mention something about the playoff atmosphere and, like, the crowd is loud. I mean, the ball off the bat and you're like, oh, my God, this is something to watch.
And, you know, clutchness is not a real stat, but it is something that can enhance a home run, right? Yeah. It's just it makes it that much more of a buildup while the ball is in the air and whatnot. So Edwin Encarnacion, you know, ridiculous power, a guy that I really enjoy watching hit a home run because along those same lines and along the lines of a guy who is a former teammate of his, really celebrate in Jose Bautista, really yeah. celebrates it when he hits one and really just takes joy in just unloading on a bad pitch. And even though I just went on like a diatribe about how I enjoy the way Trout hits home runs, like I can appreciate all kinds of home runs. Like a guy who just mashes a very bad pitch and just kind of gloats it in the pitcher's face, like you probably deserve that.
I genuinely will never forget that game against the Texas Rangers. The bat flip. That goes down in baseball history as maybe the greatest bat flip of all time. I think it's almost not even close.
Yeah, there's not a maybe. Yeah, there's no maybe about that one. That game was one of the greatest games of all time. Like, it was absolute mayhem. You were streaming that, like, on your laptop while we were at work at our student newspaper. I'm pretty sure, like, for whatever reason, we were just sitting around waiting for, like, stories to come through. We were, like, both desk editors at this point, so we were just waiting on, like, silly freshmen to send us stories. We're like sitting in the corner of the office, just like shoulder to shoulder, watching on your laptop, and just like that crazy inning. They're like throwing stuff on the field, and you just cannot believe it. And of course, that spurred maybe the greatest right hook of all time.
That one. I don't even know if that's a maybe. That's like, oh my goodness.
Good God. Yeah. So you know, home runs are good for some drama. So and a lot of these guys hit dramatic. Storybook home runs, and Encarnacion is one of those guys, in my opinion. So I had to get him on my list.
All right. Well, moving on from
Mets recall catcher Kevin Plawecki from AAA Las Vegas, activate left-handed pitcher Tommy Malone from the DL.
Oh,
fuck, man, shit. God damn.
Damn.
I cannot even contain my excitement. I'm about to burst out of this studio.
Oh, I love Tommy Malone. He's like so boring. It's like almost fun. Okay, moving on real quick. I want to talk about a story that came out this week regarding the Yankees and Yankees rookies. We're moving on from guys who mash home runs to a guy who has 15 career home runs, like majors, minors. It specifically is in reference to Tyler Wade, who is a utility guy for the
Young
Yankees.
Young Goat.
Yeah, Young Goat. Just called up recently.
He's not good. He's hitting like 180.
Yeah, has 18 games under his belt, is hitting 120 in that time.
Oh, 120. That's fine. I mean, 18 games is nothing.
But it was this story.
Wish you the best, Tyler Wade.
It was a story in ESPN about how he got called up and got to his hotel in Midtown in New York and had to all of a sudden figure out how he was going to get to Yankee Stadium. And he downloaded a transit app.
As you do.
As you do.
All NYU freshmen can attest to that.
Of course. Got to Columbus Circle Station, and I guess he had no service inside there. Tried to listen to the announcements.
T-Wade, man, you got to get one that works offline.
Any New Yorker knows you can't even hear what those announcements are saying half the time about the subway. So I'm going to read from the piece real quick. It says, eventually he figured out how to hop on a D train headed north to the Bronx. If only it were that simple. Wade exited at 155th Street, thinking he was just blocks away. But there was one issue. He was still in
Alex,
Manhattan.
Knowing the situation, laughs before he even reads the punchline.
He's still in Manhattan. I get out, and this is him speaking. I get out, and I see two cops, and I'm like, the Bronx doesn't have big buildings, Wade said. I asked these two cops, where is Yankee Stadium? One of them was like, dude, you're in Manhattan.
So, no. It was, dude, you're in Manhattan. Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, true. that actually is probably what the interaction was like. So Yankees players, they're just like tourists. They get lost in Manhattan. I've been there. I can't even make
the
fun
NYPD
of them
were
that.
Like, who the fuck is this hick? Get him out of here. Doesn't even know where the Bronx is. Yeah, the baby bombers. Don't even know where to find the Bronx.
The baby bombers.
That's really funny. Tyler Wade, it happens to the best of us, you know. One day you're just on a downtown train and you forget to get off and then you're at the Brooklyn Bridge. Or one day you're trying to go to your friend's apartment at Wall Street and then you're at 23rd Street and there's no transfer there.
Yeah, we have all been there, honestly. Yo, any native New Yorker who listens to the show is like rolling their eyes so hard right now.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, the subways are not hard.
Yeah, they're like, just figure it out.
Worst part about the subway is the subway.
Yep.
Not figuring it out. But yeah, that's really funny. You should read that story. There's a couple other tidbits about how guys just like, you know what I thought was like not that satisfying about reading that story?
What?
Essentially at the end, it's just like, yeah, so we just Uber.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's another quote that corroborates that. And they were like, yeah, Uber's just easier.
Yeah. Most of them just like take a car. It's like, that's not very fun. Dellen Betances, like.
I want someone who rides their bike. Remember when LeBron used to ride his bike to games in Miami? Like, that was a whole thing. Like, ESPN SportsCenter was like, LeBron rode his bike to the playoff games, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's probably faster.
Well, I don't know if you remember. I don't know if this story made it outside of the Bay Area, but Brian Wilson a few years ago was known for taking his, like, little scooter to games. Like, Brian Wilson with his massive...
What a weirdo.
Massive beard dyed black with, like, shoeshine or whatever the fuck he used.
All-time legend in the weirdo category.
Oh, 100%. I loved him. But yeah, you would just see him riding around
next
San
week,
Francisco.
Next week on Tipping Pitches, the All Weirdos team.
Yeah, he would just ride his scooter to the game because he like lived nearby. And like, why not? I respect that.
Yeah, major respect. Brian Wilson, he could probably still pitch. The Mets might need him. You know who needs him right now is the Giants.
Ooh, yeah, sore subject. Not for me, but for Giants fans.
Here's the thing about Yankee Stadium. Not hard to get to.
Yeah, it's really... The stop is literally named after it. It's so easy. They say it.
This is like another case of a young adult male is away from his mom for the first time and can't figure out how to fold his clothes. You know, it's like literally right up that alley. It's like, I bet you these guys have like laundry services and like all that
totally.
Stuff because like they don't know. Do I press colors? Do I press whites? How much detergent do I put in? I don't know why I'm focusing specifically on laundry, because they probably can't do dishes or vacuum or anything like that either. But it's like, dude, it's called Yankee Stadium. The stop.
It's so easy. There is a tidbit about Caleb Smith, who was a rookie. He's 26. And he, I guess, like switched platforms like four different times because he couldn't figure out where he needed to go to get uptown. And then he was like, yeah, screw this. I'm going to get an Uber. Even Yankees players, though, he went on to say Uber is too expensive, which is why he prefers the subway ride. And I'm like, yeah, same, dude.
So true. In the very, very off chance that Caleb Smith and Tyler Wade are listening to this, it's called City Mapper, man. It works perfect. Gives you live updates on the trains. It works offline. You just got to download it, man. It works on Android and iPhone. This is a free City Mapper ad.
Yo, this line's kind of depressing. With the help of reliever Chad Green, Smith learned how to navigate the subway before he was demoted to Scranton.
Ooh. You know what they don't have in Scranton?
What?
Subways.
Nope. I assume they don't. I really have no idea. I've never been to Scranton and really have no desire to.
It's in Pennsylvania. I'm pretty sure it's in the western half of Pennsylvania, so they definitely don't have anything. Just nothing.
They have a paper company.
Trump voters.
That too.
High school football.
All right, one last thing before we wrap this up.
Tebow
obviously
mania.
It's that time of the episode.
Tim Tebow.
Yeah, it's our weekly Tebow check-in. Tebow time.
The Tebow hour. Let's rename this podcast to the Tim Tebow Hour.
I'm into it.
Live from 89.1 WNYU, this is the Tim Tebow Hour with your hosts, Bobby Wagner and Alex Baisley. I could easily talk about Tim Tebow for an hour.
I know. He's so much fun.
I had like a Twitter interaction with someone yeah, this is what people want to hear. They want to hear me reading my Twitter interactions out loud on a podcast. But yeah, I had a Twitter interaction with someone who we used to work with. If you're listening, Sayre, you know, no bad blood, man. I respect the fact that you don't want the Mets to turn into a total circus, but I do. I was like, let's call up Tebow, man. It's Tebow time. I was at the game on Thursday, and I was really depressed, and I was like, I need something to be happy about. And I would be really happy if they called up Tebow, because then they would just be leaning into their joke status. And he was, like, not having it. He, like, sent me back his stat line, which Alex is about to read to you from the last week. He, like, sent me back his stat line. He's like, if you like strikeouts and groundouts, then I guess you'll love Tebow. And I'm essentially like, I would watch Tim Tebow against Major League pitching for the next 5 years on the loop.
Genuinely, the Mets aren't doing much else at this point. So, like, you might as well watch someone fun doing it, right?
Yeah, they just traded an outfielder, man.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, so Tim Tebow had a pretty nice week, honestly. It was pretty nice.
It was the nicest, dude.
He went from August 11th to August 18th, he went 2-for-29.
Is that good?
Well, he did hit 69, so it was a pretty good week for him, I think. He struck out.
There's God in this work. There is God in this. I know it for a fact. He hit 069, and then a couple weeks ago, wasn't it like he's had 69 hits the whole season, or like he's had 69 plate appearances,
yeah,
or something?
Or he was like slugging 420.
Yeah, God's number, man.
Oh, my God. yeah, other than that, he didn't do very much. He struck out 12 times, so... He struck out in like a third of his plate appearances. That's good, right?
The real reason we're here to talk about Tim Tebow is, A, he got drilled in the head, and he survived. I'm just saying. Drilled in the head, he just shook it off. You know why?
Yeah,
because he's tough. He's used to those concussions, man. He played football his whole life.
You know what? He got on. He scored.
Yeah. Maybe people should just wear it more often.
What can't he do?
Just lean into it a little bit. Just lean in. But the other thing, and this is the main thing, if you haven't watched this video, apparently there's a grandma out there that loves Tim Tebow. Her name is Miss Margaret. ESPN, of course, tweeted this video out. So we're just going to play it for you real quick.
Hey, Tim, can you say hi to my grandma? Can you say hello, Miss Margaret?
What's up, Miss Margaret? It's Tim Tebow. Hope you're having a great day. God bless.
Let's go.
Can you say hi to my grandma? Can you say hello, Miss Margaret? What's up, Miss Margaret? It's Tim Tebow. Hope you're having a great day. God bless.
No way.
Shut the
hell up. No.
I'm shocked. I'd love to hear him say your name.
And so if you haven't seen this video, you should really go watch it, because after he says, you know, what we just played, it cuts away to what I can only assume to be Miss Margaret, who's a lovely looking old woman, and she's just staring incredulously at this iPad, which is probably just like, what is this device that you're putting in front of my face? Is this a typewriter? She's just staring incredulously at this iPad, and she just looks so, so happy. And then if you couldn't hear what she said, she says, it's really something to hear him say your name, huh?
She's just like in awe of what she's seeing. Also, Tim Tebow, such a nice guy. It was such a genuine little wave, and he's like, "What's up, Miss Margaret?" I'm like, "Come on, you make me melt, Tim Tebow."
Seriously. Also, he's so cute.
He is pretty cute.
He's so cute. He's wearing that slim fit St. Lucie Mets jersey. It's just like rippling over his muscles, and he's just like,
"Damn."
He's like, "Hi, Miss Margaret. How's it going?" And then just Miss Margaret just melts into a puddle, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's where we're going to leave you at this week. Miss Margaret in a puddle and...
and Tim Tebow's jersey rippling over his muscles.
Call him up. It's Tebow time.
Yeah, so Tim Tebow, GOAT. I don't think there's anything more that needs to be said.
Literally, this is getting past the point that it was at with Rosario. Like, we're ready.
Yeah.
Among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words.
And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for joining us this week, guys. Let us know if there were home run hitters that you thought we missed, whose swing you like the most. If you have a favorite Tebow moment as well, we're always looking for more of those.
All right, we out.
Thanks, guys.
Forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In in other words, I love you.
So you mentioned Weaver hit. So, God, we're struggling. I'm struggling.
No, I am too. I think I called it fielding independent pitcher.
You did.
God damn it. Can you edit that out?
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Just going to say fielding independent pitching.
I'm not editing that back
God
in.
God damn
That's
it.
That's going to be so much work.